All right, it is the Christmas month. We are a day away from Christmas Eve. Tomorrow is Christmas Eve. Anybody here excited in the room tonight? All right, maybe some of you are going to get to spend some time with family. Maybe some of you with a lost long friend. And maybe some of you are just going to kick back and relax. And you know, some of you tonight may be a little down on the inside. Maybe your mind goes back to Christmases when you were a little child with that special somebody in your life. Maybe it was an uncle, maybe it was a grandparent, maybe it was a parent, a sibling, somebody special in your life that you used to spend Christmas with, and maybe that person has passed on. And so when you look at Christmas Day, you get a little down on the inside. But I'm here to tell you today that this Christmas, you are not alone. God is with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Jesus Christ is right beside you. Amen? So just talk to Jesus this Christmas season. He's always with you. You know, the world, non-believers, those who do not believe in Jesus Christ, they have their ideas of what Christmas is all about. You know, some people in the world think that Christmas is about bright lights. Other people think that Christmas is about well-lit trees. They think it's about just kicking back and relaxing, fun and entertainment. Some people think that Christmas is about traveling the highways of the United States. But we as believers in Jesus Christ should know what the true reason for the season is. What is the true reason for the Christmas season? The true reason for the Christmas season is a celebration of the birth of Jesus into this world 2,000 years ago as a baby in a manger in Bethlehem. You know, basically, Christmas is a birthday party for Jesus. Say it with me today. Christmas is a birthday party for Jesus Christ. You know, what is one of the main activities that occurs during Christmas? What is one of the main activities that occurs during Christmas? That's it. This brother hit the nail on the head. Giving gifts, exchanging gifts. You know, one person gives another person a physical gift and the other person in exchange receives a gift from that person. You see constant exchange of gifts during Christmas time. And you ought to be at my parents' house in Broken Arrow on Christmas Eve. We normally do it on Christmas Eve. And I'm 35 years old, and I remember from the youngest of years where my mom would buy me a bunch of gifts. And now she's got four children. My parents have four kids and two grandkids. And she buys us so many gifts. And if you're at our house in Broken Arrow during Christmas Eve, you see a constant exchange of gifts going on. It's my mom's way, my parents' way, of saying that they love us, and it's an awesome experience. Some people can't exchange physical gifts, but some people exchange time. You know, one person gives their time to another person, and the other person in return gives their time during the Christmas season. Exchanging time. But today I want to talk with you about exchanging gifts with God. We talked about exchanging gifts with other human beings. But I want to talk to you about exchanging gifts with God, the creator of heaven and earth. You know, 2,000 years ago, as I said earlier, God gave us his very best gift. And that gift had a name. His name was Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. He is Jesus Christ, God the Son. And that's why we celebrate Christmas. Let's go back to the Old Testament for just a few minutes. Genesis 1, 2, and 3. Remember when God created man and woman, he said to Adam, Adam, I am placing you in this beautiful garden. You can eat of any tree in the garden, but the tree I do not want you eating of is the tree of the knowledge of good and of evil. For in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. Lo and behold, the serpent came to the woman in Genesis 3. He tempted her and she fell. She ate of the forbidden fruit and then she gave some to whom? She gave some to Adam. And at that point, sin entered the world. You see, the first Adam messed up. He disobeyed God, and that's what sin is, friends. It's disobedience to God's commands. How many of us have been there where we have disobeyed one of God's commands in the Word? Maybe God has told you to do something, and you did not obey. We've all disobeyed. And at the end of Genesis 3, we find that Adam and Eve were banished from the Garden of Eden. You see, the Garden of Eden represented the presence of God. It represented fellowship and friendship with God. And that's what sin is. Sin is separation from God. They were forcefully dismissed from the Garden of Eden, from the presence of God. And that's what sin does. It separates us from God. So sin is disobedience to God and separation from God. And that sin nature has been passed down from generation to generation. But the good news is this, as I said, God sent the last Adam, the perfect Adam, 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ, the perfect Lamb of God who died once and for the sins of all. You see, in the Old Testament, God instituted a system of sacrifices where a priest would sacrifice an animal. The blood would be spilled, and that spilled blood of the animal would cover over sin. But Jesus was the spotless Lamb of God. When Jesus shed his blood on Calvary 2,000 years ago, his blood wiped away sin. It completely washed away our sins. Amen? Amen. He is the perfect Lamb of God. Jesus died upon a cross, friend, so that you and I would not have to die in hell. And that's good news. See, the other gift we receive by faith in Jesus is the gift of eternal life. Eternity is forever and ever and ever. We were once hell-bound, but by the work of Jesus and our faith in Him, we are now heaven-bound. And maybe today you've never received the gift of eternal life by faith in Jesus. At the end of this service, you'll have the opportunity to give your life to Christ, to say, Jesus, I place my faith in you. Or maybe you gave your life to Christ. Today you'll have the opportunity at the end to rededicate, recommit your life back to Jesus Christ. God gave us His very best. I want to receive this email that I received just a while ago. It talks about the amazing love of Jesus. At the time of the crucifixion, it was the worst type of death. Only the worst criminals condemned were crucified. Yet it was even more dreadful for Jesus. Unlike other criminals condemned to death by crucifixion, Jesus was to be nailed to the cross by his hands and feet. Each nail was 6 to 8 inches long. The nails were driven into his wrist, not into his palms, as is commonly portrayed. There's a tendon in the wrist that extends to the shoulder. The Roman guards knew that when the nails were being hammered into the wrist, that the tendon would tear and break, forcing Jesus to use his back muscles to support himself so that he could breathe. Both of his feet were nailed together. Thus, he was forced to support himself on the single nail that impaled his feet to the cross. Jesus could not support himself with his legs because of the pain, so he was forced to alternate between arching his back and then using his legs just to continue to breathe. Imagine the struggle, the pain, the suffering, the courage. Jesus endured this reality for over 3 hours. Yes, over 3 hours. Can you imagine this kind of suffering? A few minutes before he died, Jesus stopped bleeding. He was simply pouring water from his wounds. From common images, we see wounds to his hands and feet and even the spear wound to his side. But do we realize his wounds were actually made in his body? A hammer driving large nails through the wrist, the feet overlapped, and an even large nail hammered through the arches. Then a Roman guard pierced his side with a spear. But before the nails and the spear, Jesus was whipped and beaten. The whipping was so severe that it tore the flesh from his body. The beating so horrific that his face was torn and his beard ripped from his face. The crown of thorns cut deeply into his scalp. Most men would not have survived this torture. He had no more blood to bleed out, only water poured from his wounds. The human adult body contains about 3.5 liters of blood. Jesus poured all 3.5 liters of his blood. He had 3 nails hammered into his members, a crown of thorns on his head, and beyond that, a Roman soldier who stabbed a spear into his chest. All these without mentioning the humiliation he passed after carrying his own cross for almost 2 kilometers, while the crowd spat in his face and threw stones. The cross was about 30 kilograms of weight, only for its higher part where his hands were nailed. Jesus had to endure this experience so that you and I can have free access to God, so that your sins could be washed away, all of them. With no exception, don't ignore the situation. Jesus Christ died for you who now read this email. Do not believe that he only died for others, those who go to church, pastors and bishops. He died for us. You know, all of the sins you committed up until the point that you accepted Jesus as Savior were forgiven and forgotten by God. Let me say that again. All of the sins that you and I committed up until the point that we accepted Jesus as Savior were forgiven and forgotten by God. You see, God is a giver, as I said earlier. He gave his best gift. It's summarized in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave, not held back. He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, love is communicated, demonstrated through what? Giving. And the Word of God says that God so loved the world that he gave. Hence, Christmas is the season of love, the season of giving. And God gave us his very best, Jesus Christ. How many are thankful for the gift of Jesus Christ? If you are, say amen.
Amen.
All right. You know, you and I then need to be asking ourselves this question. We need to say, God, you gave me your very best gift 2,000 years ago, the gift of Jesus Christ. God, what gift would you like from me this Christmas season for me to complete the gift exchange with you? God, what gift would you want from me this Christmas season to complete the divine gift exchange with you? You know, God would like a gift this Christmas season. And that gift has a name. It's your name. God wants your heart, friends. He wants your full surrender, your full submission. You might be asking today, well, how do I fully surrender and submit to God? How do I give him my heart? By making Jesus Christ Lord over every part of your life. Yes, Jesus is your Savior if you've placed faith in him. But he also wants to be Lord, ruler. Is what Lord means. Lord means supreme in authority. It means the one in charge of every part of your life. That's how you surrender to God. That's how you give God your whole heart, your full self, every part of you. Jesus wants to be Lord over your thoughts. Are your thoughts holy, Christ-like, or do you think like the world? Jesus wants to be Lord over what you do with your body. Your body is a temple of God. Is what you do with your body holy, Christ-like, or is it like the world? He wants to be Lord over your relationships. Are you associating, hanging around with those that pull you down spiritually or those who lift you up? You've got to start hanging around people that are stronger than yourself spiritually. He wants to be Lord over the words that you speak. Do you talk like the world? Do you cuss? Tell dirty jokes? Or do the words that come out of your mouth, are they Christ-like? Filled with the fruit of the Spirit. Jesus wants to be Lord over every part of your life. So the first gift, first and foremost, that God would like this Christmas season is the gift of you.
Amen?
Amen? There's a second gift that God would like this Christmas season. What gift is that? The second gift that God would like from you is the gift of serving others. The gift of serving others. You know, everybody on the face of this earth is made in the image of God. Everybody from China to the United States to this room is created in the image of God. Part of God is on the inside of everybody. When you touch somebody with the love of God, you're touching the heart of God himself. Jesus said, for as much as you do it to the least of these, you do it to me. You might be wondering today, Jonathan, how could you talk to me about reaching out beyond myself? Look at me. Look where I live. I'm in a shelter. You know, I don't have enough money and I struggle for clothing and my meals. How could you tell me to reach out beyond myself? Well, friend, here's the news. There is somebody out there in greater need than yourself. You've got this shelter over your head. That's awesome, isn't it? There's going to be somebody out there on the streets of downtown Tulsa tonight sleeping on a street corner. There's going to be somebody out there in the middle of the snowstorm in the next couple of days sleeping underneath the bridge. But you've got a shelter. Amen? You can step out beyond yourself this Christmas season and give God the gift of serving somebody else in greater need than you. We can be the hands and the feet of Jesus. I want to read this email that I received. I thought it was awesome. It's called, I Saw Jesus. Listen to the words. A little girl wrote it. I saw Jesus last week. He was wearing blue jeans and an old shirt. He was up at the church building. He was alone and working hard. For just a minute, he looked a little like one of our members, but it was Jesus, I could tell by his smile. I saw Jesus last Sunday. He was teaching a Bible class. But he didn't talk real loud or use long words, but you could tell he believed what he said. For just a minute, he looked like my Bible teacher. But it was Jesus, I could tell by his loving voice. I saw Jesus yesterday. He was at the hospital visiting a friend who was sick. They prayed together quietly. For just a minute, he looked like Mrs. Jones. But it was Jesus, I could tell by the tears in her eyes. I saw Jesus this morning. He was in my kitchen making my breakfast and fixing me a special lunch. For just a minute, he looked like my mom, but it was Jesus. I could feel the love from his heart. I see Jesus everywhere, taking food to the sick, welcoming others to his home, being friends to a newcomer. And for just a minute, I think he is someone I know. But it's always Jesus. I can tell by the way he serves. Go be Jesus to someone today. Someone is looking for you. Friend, did you know what? You can be Jesus to somebody else. You can be the hands and the feet of Jesus to somebody in greater need than yourself. Remember, everybody out there is, you can be Jesus in disguise, and everybody out there, when you help them, you're helping Jesus himself. So you might be wondering today, well, how can I give God the gift of serving other people? What ideas do you have?
Tell them about Jesus.
That's good. One of the ideas is this. Find a friendless person out there. You may have several friends, but there may be somebody out there tomorrow just sitting on the street corner by himself, by herself. Go be a friend to the friendless. You may not have a gift physically, but do you have some time? Anybody here have some time? Go spend some time with a friendless person and be Jesus to them. That's the way you can give God the gift of serving someone who is friendless. How else can you give God the gift of serving someone who is in need? How many here know of a depressed person? Maybe, maybe not. Or maybe you're going to run across somebody who is depressed in the next couple of days, in the next week, in the next month. You know, you can go and bring some encouraging words. Serve them with encouraging words. You can tell them that God loves you. I believe in you. Jesus loves you. That's giving God the gift of serving someone in greater need than yourself this Christmas season. About a month and a half ago, as you may know, we work on people's homes in South Tulsa. And about a month and a half ago, I was working on this individual's house, and his son was kind of around the house as we were working. And his son said to me, Jonathan, I believe it was you, Jonathan, about a year and a half or two ago, you were in my neighborhood, and you saw me out here in front of my parents' house. And you handed me a tract. And he said, you only spoke three simple words to me. You said, Jesus loves you. And he said, I so appreciated the fact that you didn't preach at me and give me a long message. But Jesus loves you. And I said, are you sure it was me? He said, I'm sure it was you. He said, you got the same color truck. He said, it looked like you. But you spoke those three words into my life. Jesus loves you. And he says, ever since that point, my life was impacted. I'm closer to God today as a result of it. I said, really? He said, yes. Those words changed my life. I said, praise God. It's God. I'm just an instrument, just a mouthpiece. You know, those three simple words can change anybody's life. You can speak those words into the life of somebody this Christmas season. Just tell them Jesus loves you. If you know that Jesus loves you, then pass on the good news and tell someone else that Jesus loves them. Amen? That's serving somebody else. How else can you give God the gift of serving someone in need? Maybe somebody needs a hand out there. You see it often in downtown Tulsa. There may be a lady out there, a man out there with two large packages, hardly able to walk, and your hands are free. God has given you the gift of hands and arms. You know, pick up one of the packages off that person's back and give them a helping hand. Maybe there's somebody out there with a flat tire. Change that flat tire. Just lend a helping hand. That's the gift of serving other people that you can give to God this Christmas season. Do you know somebody out there that maybe needs to be touched, in need of affection? How many here have got two arms, two hands? Give that person a hug and tell them, I believe in you. It can change somebody's life. Amen? You know, you may have $10 or $20 to your name. And maybe this person you meet has nothing. If God speaks to you, buy that person lunch. Buy their $2 bus fare. That's giving God the gift of serving someone else this Christmas season. Amen? Amen. Maybe there's somebody out there in a hospital, a nursing home that you might know. Go out and visit them. When you visit them, you're visiting Jesus. And maybe this Christmas season, maybe you've been invited to a family or friend's house for Christmas dinner. Ask that family member, ask that friend if you can bring somebody else along and invite someone who has nowhere to eat Christmas dinner. Friends, that's stepping out beyond yourself. That's being Jesus in disguise. That's giving God the gift of serving somebody else in greater need than yourself this Christmas. Amen? Amen. First and foremost, what gift would God like from you this year? Your heart, you. And secondly, the gift of serving somebody else. Amen?